Great cash, homie, man. I grew up on that.
If you don't write checks, how do you pay these guys?
Great cash, homie.
Sir, how would you like to pay for this?
What? Straight cash, homie.
You rich, you don't write checks. You know what I'm saying? And that's straight cash, homie.
Just like the tombs in Egypt. Soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt. Soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days, I'm Marcus Boucher, back alongside my boy Alan Flores. And for the first time in the year 2020, the Bay's Golden Days Straight Cash Betting Podcast is back for a playoff edition, folks. Yes, it is wild card weekend. And luckily, I don't know if I should say luckily, I was going to say Bay Area fans don't got anything to worry about in the wild card this weekend, because the 49ers will be on bye after winning the NFC West against the Seahawks this weekend. But the Raiders could have been playing this weekend, but surprise, surprise, they're not. We talked about it all last week. Their 2% chance to get in. Well, obviously, things did not turn out for the Raiders. The Titans ended up winning, means they're in the wild card game playing the Patriots this weekend, who ended up losing a huge game. But we're going to get all into that matchup as we're going to break down every single matchup. But yes, indeed, the Titans are the last team from that AFC to sneak in, beat out my Raiders, beat out Al Steelers. So we're both sitting at home during the playoffs. And we'll just throw some money down on these games because we got no rooting interest, but we got betting interest. That's for sure. Right here on the Bay's Golden Day Straight Cash Podcast, just like we do every single week. We are with you through 17 weeks of the season, giving you winners after winners after winners. And you know we had to end off week 17 with another double-digit winner for you. Yes, I went 10-6 against the spread last week and 11-5 on the money line. We talked about how week 17 is a crapshoot, but we're still rolling winners for you and still getting your money just like we did all season long. My season totals now, 17 weeks throughout the NFL season, I had 145 wins, 107 losses, and 7 pushes against the spread. That's making money if I don't know what is. And then let's go ahead and check out the money line. We're talking about money. You know I've been money line Marcus all year. I've now got up to 171-85 on the money line after going 11-5 with my money line picks last week. I mean, Alan, I ended the year just as I started the year. Nothing but winners. Winners, winner, winners. And we're better than all those other fuckers out there.
Well, you know who the fuck it is on this mic. It's the big shit talker Al for the Bay's Golden Days. And guess what, guys? Week 17 was kind of a little steamroll for me. 8-8 on the spread. But, you know, usually I'd be pissed off about some shit like that, right? Because I demand perfection. But this was week 17. We didn't know exactly what's going to fucking happen with everyone sitting out. So I got to be satisfied keeping myself at 500. And as far as my money line goes, 12-4, that's more than satisfying. Now, again, I've been saying this to you guys before. I can't be any more unprofessional than I am when it comes to my money line picks, because I should have been keeping that fucking going. But if I had to guess, I'd be between the 140 to 160 range for money line picks, which is still not pretty fucking bad. Obviously, Moneyline Mark killed it on the Moneyline game, but you know what? He's only, like I said last week, he's only up by like a touchdown's worth for them spread picks. So, of course, me and him had to do better than the motherfucking experts.
Oh, you got to do better than the experts. And Alan's actually got a few of those numbers here, because we told you we've been good against the spread all season long, over 500 every single week. It seems like I think I only had one or two losing weeks the whole entire season. And we've been talking shit. Bleacher Report, better than their best guys. Pro Football Focus, better than their best guys. I mean, Alan. Bleacher Report, their best guy only had, what, 130 wins against the spread this year?
Absolutely.
All of them had losing records.
Absolutely. There's this guy, I don't know who the fuck he is, named Brad. His best record was 133-118-5. Now, of course, he had less pushes than me, so he gets that little record. But still, overall, I'm better than him. And talking about the consensus picks, 122-129-5, Marcus. What do we have to say about that?
Hey, these are Bleacher Report, quote-unquote, experts, and they have less than a 500 record. We've had over a 500 record all year long. Obviously, the numbers do not lie for themselves. I told you, 145, 170. 7-7 against the spread, and 171-85 on that motherfucking money line. And we're not done yet, folks. Oh, just because the regular season ended doesn't mean we're not going to be laying down some money on some big old playoff games this weekend. So, of course, we're going to break down every game from wild card weekend, as the Texans will be hosting the Bills, the Patriots will take on the Titans, the Saints will be taking on the Vikings, and the Eagles will be taking on the Seahawks. A bunch of big playoff matchups with huge implications, especially here in the Bay Area. The 49ers with a big bye after beating the Seahawks last week, 26-21. They'll be using that bye week to get healthy from injuries, get ready for the end of the season. But of course, we're going to talk about the Niners a bunch as they try to make a Super Bowl run. It has to go through Santa Clara. They are the number one seed, and they will be looking to make a trip down to Miami. But before we get into any of this playoff talk, You know it's the Bay's Golden Day, so I got to sprinkle in a little bit of a Raiders recap just to end it. This will be quick, folks. Tell you it's painless, it's easy, it's over. The Raiders are done in Oakland. Or are they? Stay tuned, because I got some news for you guys. But let's go ahead and look at the Raiders losing to the Broncos last week, 16-15. They lost on a two-point conversion. They could have got in. They could have won the game. But by the time the fourth quarter came around, the Titans had already beat the Texans. They were winning by two touchdowns. I mean, it didn't really matter. People were like, why didn't the Raiders play for the extra point and try to win overtime? Because it didn't fucking matter. It's the last game of the year. We talked about it all week last week. It's the last game of the year. Can't hold anything back now. The Raiders were either going to go for the win on that final play of the game, or they lose, and guess what? Now they have a better draft pick. They are set on the year now with two top 20 draft picks. There is penciled in for the number 12 pick and penciled in for the number 19 picks. Obviously, the Bears started winning games at the end of the season. I don't know what the fuck happened there. I thought we were going to get two fucking top 10, top 15 picks. But, hey, two top 20 picks. I can't complain. Derek Carr ended the season on kind of a high note. I mean, he had a bunch of easy touchdowns, a 100 run throw. He could have hit early. But at the end of the day, Derek had a decent game, went over for 4,000 yards on the season. He's still number two in fucking passing completion rating. I mean, I went on this rant last week talking about how I think Derek at least deserves another year. Now, Alan, Raider Nation is not on the same page as me. Raider Nation is a nation divided right now over Derek Carr. There's a lot of people who want to move on. And honestly, when you look at the numbers, Derek looks like he's having a great year. But when you're watching actual games, there are a lot of big plays. Fourth and goal, he throw it away. Third down, rolling out of pocket, just throwing the ball instead of trying to make plays. So people want to see more out of Derek as a production on the field-wise. But you want to look at his numbers. This guy statistically had one of his best seasons of the year. The guy had over 4,000 yards, like I said, was number two in completion rating right behind Drew Brees. And people I already know are going to say, oh, yeah, he had a number two completion rating because all he does is check down. He's checked down Derek Carr. Well, guess what? He was top 10 in the NFL in yards per attempt. He averages 7.9 yards per attempt. That's top 10. Top 10 in total passing yards. He was top 10 in least interceptions allowed. Top 10 in quarterback fucking passer rating. Whatever you want to call it. All these stats, Derek Carr was literally a top 10 quarterback this year. Now, it didn't translate to the field. But I will say that it did translate to the field because obviously I've been talking about his rookie wide receivers have been great. Hunter Renfrow stepped up, Foster Moreau tight end, Darren Waller, second-year guy coming from all the background issues that he had in Baltimore. Obviously, he had a few weapons. But this is a guy that was supposed to have Antonio Brown to start the season. This is a guy that was supposed to have a number one weapon finally. I mean, go back to the season when he had Amari Cooper and Michael Crabtree. They both had 1,000-yard seasons, and Derek Carr was in the MVP conversation. So we've seen what he's able to do with weapons. I mean, shit, we saw these last two games how much he looked better just with Hunter Renfrow on the field alone. So I honestly think Derek Carr has earned the opportunity to go into Vegas as the next Raiders quarterback. Now, who really knows if they're going to be playing in Vegas, Al, because I got some insider information for you. I don't know how credible these sources are, but we actually had a caller call into KMBR the other day. He said he works for the union that is working on the Raider Stadium up in Vegas, and apparently nuts and bolts are falling from the roof left and right. And so we asked this guy who came out on KMBR. He didn't want to disclose his name or anything. We said, hey, nuts and bolts are falling from the roof. How long does something like this take to fix? The guy said 9 to 12 months. Breaking news, baby. The Raiders are staying in Oakland for one more season. Now, of course, I don't know how credible Jay from San Jose is. He called into the show, talked about his union and the workers and everything, but ow, I can just see with a puzzled look on your face. I mean, the shit show that the Raiders have been the last 2-3 years trying to get out of Oakland to Vegas. I mean, John Gruden came out and said they're still going to be playing training camp in Napa, and they're not even going to move up to Vegas till the end of the summer anyways. I don't even know if the stadium's going to be ready, Al.
How do you spend that much money and you got bolts fucking falling out of the ceiling, Marcus?
That's what I'm saying.
How much was that fucking stadium?
Millions and millions and millions of dollars. And yeah, and surprise, surprise, the Raiders, once again, can't figure out anything. But like I said, who knows if they're even going to be playing in Vegas next year? Who knows where Derek Carr will be lining up for the Raiders
next year? I'm calling collusion. Oakland is behind us. They said, fuck Vegas. We don't want to go to Vegas. We want to stay in Oakland, Marcus. That's exactly what I'm calling right now. It's collusion.
Hey, I could see it.
The mob is involved.
It seems like there's been collusion against the Raiders all fucking season long. But at the end of the day, they colluded against themselves. They had a chance to make the playoffs. They ended up losing to the Jets, the Jaguars, the fucking Broncos. You lose to those fucking 3-4 teams, you don't deserve to be in the playoffs. It's as simple as that.
Agreeable.
So honestly, yeah, Al knows that the Jets have been the biggest spoiler of the year. The Jets beat the fucking Raiders, the Cowboys, and the Steelers. They all missed the playoffs by one game. Surprise to fucking surprise. So yeah, I mean, you can be disappointed at the Raiders after getting off to a great start. Josh Jacobs got hurt, lost Hunter Renfrow for a couple games. They really did sputter in that 3-4 game stretch. But to begin the year, Alan, I had them as a 6-10 team.
Overall.
They ended 7-9, so I really can't be mad. They actually went above my expectations, and I think Derek took a couple steps right forward in the right direction. Now, he's obviously going to have to prove he's more of a game-winner, game mentality, show some of that Mamba mentality that Kobe always showed that he always talks about. But I think Derek's going to be the quarterback for the future. I think this Raiders rookie class is going to be great to build on in the future. I mean, I've talked about their stats all season long. The Raiders rookie class led the NFL in touchdowns with 17, in scrimmage yards with over 2,000, with sacks with over 14.5, and rushing yards with over 1,000. I talked about Josh Jacobs, rookie of the year. He did miss a couple games, but I still think he was, what, top 10, even without missing those 3-4 games in rushing yards. I talked about Max Crosby all season long. Okay. He should at least be mentioned in that defensive rookie of the year conversation with Nick Bosa. Obviously, I think Nick Bosa is going to win it, but Max Crosby, 10 sacks himself. The guy's been absolutely phenomenal. Clelin Ferrell got 4.5. I think he steps up big in year two. Honestly, I like the way that this rookies class has came together for the Raiders. It's a nice, solid foundation to build forward. And like I said, got draft picks moving forward. Hell, we're going to look pretty good moving to Vegas or wherever the hell we're playing next
Jesus
year, Al.
Christ, dude. I got no words for this right now. Marcus, I don't really have anything else to say about the Raiders other than I could agree. They definitely have been better than we both thought. I mean, Steelers and Raiders as far as that goes. So, but Marcus, what the flying fuck, dude? That stadium? They're going to talk about building a fucking hotel, and yet they got bolts and fucking nuts falling from the ceiling on the stadium?
Yeah, it's a shit show up in Las Vegas. It's a shit show in Oakland. But honestly, that's been the case ever since Mark Davis took over. But like I said, I'm going to keep this short. I'm going to keep this sweet. I'm still a believer in Derek Carr. It seems like I'm one of the few that still rock with him in the Raider Nation. But I think you have to give him at least one more year, because what? We're going to replace him with Jameis Winston? Fuck that guy. He throws too many interceptions. I mean, who do you really get? Cam Newton, if he's healthy, maybe. No. I don't think the Raiders are going to get a chance with this next draft class. I think Tua is going to be gone in the top 10. I think Herbert's going to be gone in the top 10. Obviously, Joe Burrow is going to be gone in the top 10. So I don't really like – I hella don't want Jalen fucking Hurts. Let me put that on the record right now. I do not want the quarterback out of Oklahoma. So, yeah, who are you going to get that's better than Derek Carr? I think people are forgetting. I mean, I saw some stat ESPN's like, oh, Derek Carr has 66 losses or whatever the fuck it is in his first 6 years in the NFL, most since his brother.
Family.
Well, guess fucking what? The Raiders had 70-something losses the 6 years before he got there. And the decade before Derek Carr got there – had a fucking 100 losses. So, I mean, Raider fans, you need to remember, we had fucking Jamarcus Russell, fucking Andrew Walters, fucking Carson Palmer, Jason Campbell, shout out to him. He was actually decent, but who the fuck do you want back there?
Aaron
fucking Tui Asosopo, Aaron Brooks. I mean, fucking A, I could keep landing off these fucking quarterbacks over the past decade. DC has been the best quarterback we got, and I think it's the best option we got moving forward.
Absolutely. I'm totally agreeing with that. I mean, Marcus, I've been your friend for, what, about 20 years almost like that, and I've seen more fucking quarterbacks than I should have seen on that team. I mean, you just named off so many quarterbacks, and there's still more to fucking come. So right now, I think this is probably one of the best seasons that you've seen with the Raiders. I would say probably the best season just because of the position you guys were in. You guys lost the dumbest fucking guy in the world right now, Antonio Brown, who doesn't know what the fuck he's going to do. So that right there was a big hit. Sorry, I couldn't lie. I was kind of laughing at that because, well, it was Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
But I mean, still, just like I said, the position you guys were in, and you guys still had a decent season, you guys did better than you thought you were, and now you guys are about to have a better draft class. But when it comes to the Steelers now, give myself a little bit of a rant. I can't be no more than satisfied, but at the same time, I got to be disappointed. Why do I have to be disappointed, Mark? Because I actually wanted to see if the Steelers would have a losing record, because I haven't seen it before in my life. I'm sorry. It kind of gets a little old seeing a bunch of winning records. Based on the position we were in, we lost our fucking main guy, Ben Roethlisberger, who probably is going to be on our team for, like, what, maybe another 2 years, so I'm just going to try to stick with him as much as I can. But that was obviously a big hit. But then we got Devin Hodges and Mason Rudolph, tried to come in, do what they had to do, and they did pretty decent. They weren't top-notch, of course, but they did what they could. And our defense stepped the fuck up. After the trade with Minka, after the fucking trade to the Broncos to get Devin Bush, I couldn't be any more happier. And now I can only see us getting another fucking draft pick who's just going to be top notch, because honestly, that's how the Steelers go. We're not that high in the draft class every year all the time, but when we do draft, these guys are pretty fucking decent. I mean, again, look at Antonio Brown, look at Le'Veon Bell. So many guys passed them up and we took them, and then we ended up having the three fucking B's. Obviously, that's gone, but you know what? Just the fact that we fucking drafted him and we made a fucking good run with him, hell, we could do the same with these guys. And not to mention Minka Fitzpatrick. He's a fucking – we got him on a rookie contract, so we don't have to worry about paying him for like 3 or 4 years. And we all fucking know how fucking cheap the Steelers want to be when we got no goddamn cap space whatsoever. So that's one thing I'm very excited about. Now back to my season. 8-8? Okay, 500. Injured, fucked up, we still fucking made fucking 500 and almost made playoffs. I can't be mad, Marcus.
No.
So, yeah, of course I joke around saying, oh, I wanted to see a losing season because, well, I kind of wanted to, honestly. I would have been curious to see how it felt to have a losing season. Overall, can't be mad, Marcus. Now let's go on to them games.
Well, I'll say this for a second. I'll point this out with the Steelers. I talked about the Raiders rookie class, the building blocks they have. Obviously, the Steelers now, they got guys like Devin Bush, like you mentioned, Fitzpatrick, Bud Dupree, T.J. Watt. They got a lot of young talent to build around on their defense side of the ball. Obviously, now you're going to have to stick with Mason Rudolph or Duck Hodges for another year because, obviously, you gave up that first-round pick to get Minkah Fitzpatrick. Unless you guys draft a quarterback in the second round, third round, who knows? Jalen Hurts might fall to you guys. But then you never know with Ben Roethlisberger coming back for one last ride. I saw the guy say he's not going to shave his beard till he can throw a ball again. He looks like a fucking homeless guy on the sideline.
He needs to lose some weight, too.
He needs to lose a lot of something, like facial hair, weight, all the above. But I think Ben does come back for one more run. And the position you guys are in with this defense now, it seems like you add someone like Ben Roethlisberger, you guys should be in the playoffs next year.
Oh, absolutely. And basing off our draft class, I would assume that we're going to go offensively now. I think we need to get a little bit more receiving core now because obviously, Juju wasn't really the best receiver for us this season. Now, I'm not going to sit here and totally bag on him because he did miss a few games. And again, like I said last week, the guy has no chemistry with these quarterbacks, and it just wasn't good enough, obviously. I mean, shit, I'll just give a little stat last week. The guy had 6 targets, 2 receptions, and 6 yards. Boom. I mean, Jesus fucking Christ. I don't even have to get into that game right now. I will eventually, but yeah, we'll just see what happens next season. I'm not mad at all. I'm satisfied. And that's the 2019-2020 season for you fellas.
That is. And I'll just give one more little caveat to top it off. Shout out for me for picking the Ravens to beat the Steelers last week and knock them out of the playoffs. So shout out to me. But the Ravens are the number one team in the AFC. So they will be on a bye. They will be joined by the Chiefs on a bye week as well. The 49ers and Packers are on bye week in the NFC. But like Alan said, let's go ahead and hop into these playoff matchups. The Raiders are out of the playoffs. The Steelers are out of the playoffs. And it's time to talk about playoff football. But first, Randy, let them know what time it is.
Straight cash, homie.
That's right, Randy. It's time for the Saturday slate of wild card games because, surprise, surprise, the first Saturday of playoffs and the Houston Texans are playing again. Alan, it seems like they're in this time slot every fucking season. And honestly, the numbers back it up. This is their sixth time hosting a wild card game. But bad news for the Texans, they've actually lost 4 of the last 5 wild card games. Obviously, we saw what happened against the Colts last year. Now, the Texans were my pick to win the AFC South. They ended up beating the Titans a couple weeks ago. But honestly, they've kind of taken their foot off the gas. They didn't even show up last week. They didn't even play any of their starters. They lost their last 2 home games by a combined 35 points, and now they got to take on the Buffalo Bills, who are one of the hottest teams in football, end the season with a 10-6 record. But the Buffalo Bills, they've got the stats going against them as well. They have not won a playoff game since 1995, so we'll see if Josh Allen, Devin Singletary, and OG Frank Gore can turn around for this offense, because honestly, this one's going to be an interesting matchup between, I think it's more the Texans' offense going against his Bills defense. Now, everybody knows Deshaun Watson, how good he's been, but then he's also had some letdown moments. He's got a lot of games where he disappears, and especially if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't have a big game, then it seems like Deshaun Watson slows down as well. And honestly, I think that's going to be the number one matchup to watch in this game, is DeAndre Hopkins going up against one of the league's best corner in the league. That's Tre'Davious White. I've been giving Tre'Davious White credit all season long. Hell, this whole entire Bills defense, I've been credit all season long. They've only allowed 1 100-yard receiver all season long. They're the number 2 defense in points per game allowed. They're top 5 against the run. I mean, this defense has been shutting down people all season long, and defense wins games in playoffs. So honestly, I'm leaning towards the Bills here. They are getting 3 points as the road underdog. And honestly, Al, we've been betting on the Bills all season long,
and
baby. Nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills, and I might have to circle the Buffalo Bills plus the 3 points plus the upset here as well. Now, I know the Houston Texans are getting J.J. Watt back. He's coming back from a torn pec, but honestly, I think that this Bills offense is going to do enough rushing the ball because the Texans really don't have too good of a rush defense. Devin Singletary, I believe, had over 700 yards, had a pretty good rookie season. But then Josh Allen, he's not only proven as a rusher, this guy can run as well. This guy had over 3,000 passing yards this year and 500 rushing yards. His first 2 seasons in the league now, he has over 1,000 rushing yards and 17 rushing touchdowns. This is a guy that can get outside of the pocket, move his feet, and I think that might be a huge X factor in this game, getting away from J.J. Watt if he is able to provide some pressure. I like the Buffalo Bills running game here, and I like Tre'Davious White locking up DeAndre Hopkins and this Bills shutting down this Texans offense. Honestly, I think it's going to be 5 out of 6 losing on wild card weekend for the Texans. I like the Bills here. And taking plus the points, I think they might get the upset victory as well, Alan.
I love the Bills right now. And before I even get to my opinion, I got to give you some respect, Marcus, because I do recall maybe last season and the season before, you would talk about this Bills defense all the time.
All the time.
And they didn't even have the full-on pieces. Like, they were missing some guys still. Like, I mean, guys that didn't get drafted or guys that they traded.
This is before they drafted Tre'Mont Edwards, before they drafted Ed Oliver. They just keep adding pieces.
So it's like, if they keep on adding adding pieces, which I really don't think that they need to, then that defense could be one of the most unstoppable defenses that we could talk about of our fucking lifetime. But regarding this game, I'm definitely taking the Bills. Because the Bills are just more, honestly, they're more hot than the Texans. Like you said, the Texans are starting to slow down, which is not a good time to do that. This is playoffs, so who knows? Maybe they'll turn it up like the Patriots usually do. But as far as the Bills go, I think that they win this. I think that they cover the spread, and I think they take the upset win. Now, I do want to say Will Fuller is questionable because he was also limited in practices. Now, he has missed 5 games.
Yeah.
So even if he does come back, who knows if he's going to be ready, or who knows if he's going to be fucking like Tyreek Hill and just catches 2 fucking bomb touchdowns. Now, obviously, Will Fuller is not Tyreek Hill, but still, it could happen. It could not happen. So if he doesn't play, then clearly I think the Bills' defense is going to have one hell of a day because all they got to do is worry about DeAndre Hopkins. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, they got Carlos Hyde, but that's really not much of a fucking matter. They also got Duke Johnson. Maybe Duke Johnson is more someone to look at more than Carlos Hyde because they use him as running and passing. But I think that the Bills take this one hands down.
Yeah, I think the Bills' defense on the road is going to travel. Some people are worried about taking a road team in the playoffs, but get this, the Bills were actually 6-2 on the road this season, and the Houston Texans, for as good as their offense has been, their defense has let up a shit ton of points. They're actually the only team in the playoffs this year with a negative point differential. Yes, they've let up 7 more points than they've scored on the season. I don't think that translates this weekend against the Bills. Like I said, roll with that defense, roll with Josh Allen, roll with Devin Singletary. You can run on this Texans defense, and I think the Bills defense is able to put the clamps down on Deshaun Watson. He lost his first playoff game last year. I think he loses again. Hopkins versus Tre'Davious White is going to be one hell of a matchup, and we're both rolling with the Buffalo Bills over the Houston Texans. But you want to talk about a matchup with number one wide receiver versus number one corner?
Woo-hoo!
Hell, if you want to talk about the best corners in the league, I think there's an easy conversation right now. It's between Tre'Davious White and between Stephon Gilmore. Now, Stephon Gilmore will have his hands full with the rookie that has just straight busted out the past couple weeks. A.J. Brown out of Ole Miss has been absolutely phenomenal. The guy has 84 catches for over 1,000 yards on the year. You want to talk about one hell of a rookie season, but then you want to talk about getting matched up with Stephon Gilmore. Now, Stephon Gilmore just did get toasted by Devontae Parker last week. I mean, you want to talk about the Patriots losing to the Dolphins. I mean, we took the Dolphins plus 16.5.
Yeah,
I mean, what I tell you, my favorite bet is Ryan Fitzpatrick plus the double-digit point spread. But goddamn, I didn't know Fitzmagic was this much of a kryptonite to the Patriots. I mean, goddamn, the Chiefs want to honor this guy as an honorary captain for their playoff game. They want to bring him in to bang the drum up in Arrowhead, whatever the hell. But yeah, Fitzmagic, the kryptonite, he's now beat the Patriots as a member of the Dolphins, a member of the Jets, and a member of the Bills. We talk about how bad all these fucking teams are. They should just rotate, and he should be the designated quarterback for AFC East teams when they play against the Patriots. It'd be like backyard football. Ryan Fitzpatrick, you're the all-time quarterback. You get to go out there and play against Tom Brady, because goddamn, the Patriots, nobody saw him this losing.
No,
I mean, I think
no.
They were like plus 1,000 on the money line. Like, if you went with the Dolphins, like, good for fucking you. You took my bet and took it to the extreme. The fucking upset, because the Patriots, not like this was a trap game that they're overlooking. Like, Belichick came out last week and said this is a playoff game. This is a game that's going to get us a bye, get us a week off, so they need to win. And they came out and lost. Like I said, Devontae Parker straight up dusted
last
Gilmore multiple fucking times. Fitzmagic coming back to back. And honestly, it cost them a loss against the Dolphins just like they did last season. But this time it actually cost them a first round bye. And the Patriots, they're not too good without a first round bye. Get this, they have never won a Super Bowl without a bye week. Yes, we talk about how all fucking year they usually get 10 fucking wins just off of their division, how easy it is, and they're set up for a bye week every single year. But no, now they're playing in the wild card game for the first time since 2009. And back in 2009, guess what? They lost that game 33-14 to the Ravens. And get this, Tom Brady has a 3-3 record as a 3 seed or lower in the playoffs. Now, obviously, when he's got home field advantage, playing at home, up in Foxborough, out on a bye week, 2 weeks to prepare, the Patriots are damn near unbeatable. But this week, they don't got the bye week. They don't get to prepare. They're taking on a Tennessee Titans team that is hot as hell. But at home, I still think the Patriots are a tough team to beat. Get this, they've won 9 straight games at home in the playoffs, and they're 20-3 in the Belichick era and home playoff games. Now, the Tennessee Titans, like I said, they beat out the Raiders, beat out the Steelers, were able to get that last wild card spot. Derrick Henry has been running like a fucking madman, overtook Nick Chubb in that final week of the season to win the rushing title. But now we're talking about the number one rusher going against the number one total defense. And this is a defense that's been not as good as it was the first half of the year when they were playing fucking scrubs every fucking week.
Just getting by now.
Obviously, we just saw what happened last week against Fitzmagic and Devontae Parker. But this defense still can score points. They can still limit quarterbacks, and they do a great job limiting quarterbacks who are making their first postseason appearance. And obviously, that is Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill is making his first ever playoff start. The man has been on fire since taking over as a starter. Get this, he's actually 7-3 as a starter since taking over for the Titans. And in that same span, the Patriots are only 6-4. So he's actually had a better record than the Patriots as he's playing quarterback. But as I mentioned, this is the first time you're playing in the playoffs, on the road, up in Foxborough. Get this stat. The Patriots are 11-0 versus quarterbacks making their playoff debut, and especially making it up in Foxborough. Yeah, as good as the Tennessee Titans offense has been playing right now, Tannehill's completing passes at a career rate. I mean, he's having a career fucking year. So is Derrick Henry. I want to say Derrick Henry's going to be able to run the ball, but the Patriots' defense of Belichick, what do? They try to take away your best option every single game. I think they're going to put 8-9 guys in a box, force Ryan Tannehill to beat them, and I don't know if he can do that up in the road, up in Foxborough, Al.
I agree. I don't think that the Titans can pull this off because we've seen this too many fucking times, people. Even if the Patriots slow down during the season, it's playoff mode. You know what the fuck that means. But I am a little skeptical because I had a little talk last week, you know, watching these games, you know, my pops is over here looking. He goes, dude, this guy looks hurt. Tom Brady looks hurt. He looks like his elbow is not the same because I'm looking at these passes, too. These passes look like Peyton Manning passes when he broke his neck.
They look like
fucking Duck Hodges passes right now. They're looking like floaters. They're looking like not even tight spirals. He can't even get the ball to Edelman, and that's his biggest fucking connection so far. But I do think that they pull this win off, but I think the Titans cover the spread. I think this is going to be a real close game. I wouldn't even be surprised if it's a shootout. It could be fucking 31-30 for all I fucking know, but I think the Patriots pull this off. Now, get this, though. Julian Edelman is questionable because of a knee and shoulder injury. Now, I've said this the past few weeks. He's still been playing. And then you got Jason McCourty, who's probably one of their best fucking defensive cornerbacks right now, and he's also questionable for growing. So if these guys don't play, which most likely they will, definitely this is going to play a hands-down advantage to the Titans, but I think that they play. This is playoffs. You got everything to lose, that fucking seventh ring, and I hope they don't get that seventh fucking ring. Go fuck yourselves, but I'm taking the Titans to cover that spread and Patriots, unfortunately, to win.
Yeah, Al, I'm right there with you. I think that's the best bet to make, and like I said, you got some luck on your side because the Patriots have never won a Super Bowl without a bye week, but they will try to win this week against the Tennessee Titans, and yeah, I think they sneak it out somehow, some way. It's just the Patriots. It feels like they always find a way to fucking win in the playoffs. I like the Titans and how hot they've been playing, so I'll take the plus 5 points because I think a matchup that's being underlooked is Mike Vrabel actually coaching against his former coach and former fucking teammate Tom Brady. Mike Vrabel played for the Patriots. He's the guy who caught touchdown passes from Tom Brady, so you think his defense might be able to throw a couple wrenches in there. I mean, we saw the Lions with Matt Patricia going against his former team did give some trouble to the Patriots as well, so I think Mike Vrabel might have some tricks up his sleeve for Belichick and his former team, so I think he keeps it close. I like the Titans plus 5 here, but I think the Patriots on the money line is the bet to make out. But then let's go ahead and move on from Saturday to our Sunday games. Like I said, only 4 games this weekend, a little bit different than our 14, 15, 16 game slates that we've been having all season long, but these are big playoff games, so of course we're going to give you some in-depth breakdown, and I don't think there's a bigger game this weekend than this one. Just because of the stakes that have been for the last couple years for the New Orleans Saints, obviously they've been knocked out of the playoffs the past 2 years on the two final plays of the games, it damn near seems like. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, Minnesota Miracle, the fucking rematch. We all know what happened. Stephon Diggs, the 61-yard walk-off touchdown. And then you want to talk about last season, the no-call PI.
Bullshit.
Ended up losing on a field goal. So honestly, I think the Saints are coming here and playing with a chip on their shoulder. And I think Vegas recognizes that because this is the biggest point spread of the weekend. The Saints are favored by 8 points. Now, they're playing against a Vikings team that really did take last week off. They did a fucking whole bye week, lost to the fucking Bears. So thanks for fucking bumping down our fucking draft picks, you fucking jabronis. But they really needed it to use it as a bye week for the playoffs because they've been dealing with injuries all season long. Obviously, Dalvin Cook, he's questionable. He should be coming back now, but he's taking on a New Orleans Saints defense that's actually ranked 4th in rushing defense. We've been talking about how they've been able to slow down the run. So if they're going to try to put points up on the Saints, they're going to have to do what the 49ers did and just completely flip the script. Kyle Shanahan came out that game against the Saints and was just throwing the ball, throwing the ball, throwing the ball. So they're going to have to rely on Kirk Cousins. And yeah, I have to stop myself and chuckle there because
you mean Jimmy?
Talk about relying on Kirk fucking Cousins. You want to talk about a guy who doesn't show up on big games? Kirk Cousins, 0-10 versus teams with at least 10 wins. 2-10 versus teams that made the playoffs. 0-1 in the playoffs. So Kirk Cousins is going to need all the fucking tricks he can get. Dalvin Cook, obviously, they're a great play-action team when Dalvin Cook is in there, so he can take shots downfield. But you want to talk about Adam Thielen. He's been dealing with injuries. Is he finally questionable? Like, I mean, you want to talk about all these injuries. So, yeah, hopefully that bye week did some good for the Minnesota Vikings, because even on the defense side of the ball, Eric Kendricks, first-team All-Pro linebacker, he was hurt as well. We saw what happened in that Packers game, how big of an impact that was. So if he can't play going against the Saints offense, trying to guard somebody like Jared Cook, he might have a field day. And then, I mean, shit, the Vikings, they thought they'd actually have an advantage here with Xavier Rhodes. The past 2-3 years, he's been one of the best lockdown corners in the league, but Xavier Rhodes really hasn't been doing shit this year.
He's a letdown this year.
He's been getting beat left and right, and now he's got to go up against Michael Thomas, who we've talked about. Michael Thomas, this dude ended the season with 149 catches for 1,725 yards. Easily beat Marvin Harris's single season receiving record, and the guy has just been unstoppable. Drew Brees, I mean, what is he, 40, 41, 42? I mean, he's up there with Tom Brady fucking age, and Tom Brady looks like he's falling apart. Drew Brees looks like he's capping off the end of his prime. I mean, he just beat Peyton Manning, touchdown record. You want to talk about number one completion rating? He ended a season like 75%. That's a brand new record. I mean, the guy only needs 241 yards to get 5,000 playoff yards in his career, and I think he gets it this weekend against a Vikings defense who, like I said, has been banged up. They can't get after the quarterback, so we'll see if that causes some pressure. But shit, the 49ers were able to get it after some pressure too, and Drew Brees hung fucking, what, 45 points on him?
Oh,
and
yeah,
that's the team that I've been comparing the Vikings to all season long. I think if the Vikings can put it together, they are in a similar build as the 49ers. They got a pretty good run game. Dalvin Cook is probably better than any running back that the 49ers have. Kirk Cousins, Jimmy Garoppolo, that's a toss-up. But then you go outside. Adam Thielen, Stephon Diggs. I'd take them over Deebo Samuel and Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
And then defense side of the ball, yeah, there's a lot of talent on that front defensive line for the Niners. There's a bunch of talent for the Vikings as well. They got Everson Griffin. They got Danielle Hunter. Their linebackers, Eric Kendrick, Anthony Barr, Xavier Rhodes, Harrison Smith in the backfield. So the Vikings have a lot of talent. It's just Kirk Cousins who I'm worried about. And it's him stepping up against a Saints team that is on fire right now. I think they put up over 100 points the last three games. I think they're playing too well right now. I think they're playing with a chip on their shoulder. I think they're coming pissed off. I mean, fuck, they won 13 games and they have to play in fucking wild card weekend. I don't know how the fuck that happens, but hey, regardless, I think the Saints are coming out with a chip on their shoulder. I think they win this game by fucking double digits. I can see 2 touchdowns. Yeah, the Vikings are a good team. Maybe that bye week helps out, but I think the Saints are on a mission right now. End of Drew Brees' career. The window's closing. I think they're in a prime position to make a Super Bowl run and get down to Miami.
I fully agree with that Super Bowl run, and I fully agree with them Saints fucking winning. The Saints are going to be playing pissed off, and I can definitely see why that spread is +8. So, yes, I am taking the Saints to win and cover that spread. And, yeah, man, I mean, like you said, the Vikings are just like the fucking Niners. And as far as you saying Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo is a toss-up, it ain't no toss-up. They're literally the same fucking person to me. They both just, I mean, you know what? No, I'm not even going to say that, because I think Kirk Cousins could actually throw the fucking ball down the field more than Jimmy, because, again, like I've always said, Jimmy's 80% of his passes are fucking 5 or 10 yards to Kittle, and they all do the rest. But this is not about the Niners right now. This is about the Vikings and Saints. And I got to say, just like you said, if Eric Kendricks can play healthy, then they might have a chance. Well, surprise, surprise, Eric Kendricks with his quadricep injury, he's participated in Thursday, so he could be in. Anderson Dejo is a little bit limited too, though, so that could be a heavy hand for Drew Brees and Michael Thomas. Hell, even Jared Cook can catch another one-hand touchdown. And for New Orleans, the only injury that they got to really worry about is Eli Apple, and we all know who is the nephew of Michael Blackson. So pretty much Eli Apple's limited, and his ankle's pretty much saying that he can't get jiggy with this shit. So I think that this could be a big advantage for the Saints overall if they don't play. And Dalvin Cook, obviously, I think he's going to be playing, though, so that's one guy that they really need to step up on. But I think Cameron Jordan can handle that guy pretty well this week. So, yeah, I think I'm just going to stop while I'm ahead and just go Saints -8 and just fucking win more than by 8, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the Saints win this game big. We've seen Drew Brees get hot. Michael Thomas has been hot. Even Alvin Kamara has been scoring more touchdowns the past couple weeks.
All
end
of
the season.
Huh?
Yeah, I want to end the season off on a high note. So I think Kamara is going to have a big game as well. Jared Cook, like I said, especially if Kendricks doesn't play, is going to be a huge matchup to watch. But get this, the Saints are actually 6-1 at home in the playoffs under the Drew Brees and Sean Payton era. They're phenomenal at home. Everybody wants to talk about the myth of them going on the road, going outside, blah, 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 blah. We'll get to that when we get to it next week. If they have to either go to the Packers or go to the 49ers or whatever the hell happens, I think the Saints are probably the hottest team in the NFL right now. If I'm the 49ers, that's one team I don't want to play. But hey, we'll go ahead and talk about the team that the 49ers might be playing next week, and that's going to be maybe the winner of the Seattle Seahawks versus the Philadelphia Eagles. Now, obviously, we know what happened last week with the 49ers
fuck
and the Seahawks.
Faggots,
so we'll go ahead and talk
fuck
about that a little bit. We kind of skipped our Bay Area recap in the beginning because the 49ers on a bye. But yes, they beat the Seahawks 26-21. This came down to a final fucking play. Man, Alan.
I'm livid, Marcus.
Surprise, surprise.
I'm fucking livid.
The fucking Seahawks choked on a one-yard line again.
No, they didn't even choke on the one-yard line. They shot themselves in the foot with a fucking delay of game.
That's what I'm saying. They had an opportunity lined up, Marshawn Lynch at the one-yard line, bring him in the game. But no, Marshawn can't find his helmet. I mean, how the fuck you get a delay of game after spiking the ball to begin with? You wasted it down there. I would have thrown a fade to DK Metcalf in the corner of the end zone instead of spiking the play because you only got four fucking plays to begin with. But yeah, down to the one-yard line, back up, then the no pass interference call. I mean, the end of the game was just fucking hectic. It was crazy. I don't even know how they didn't review it. Some people are saying it's offensive pass interference. Some people are saying it's defensive pass interference. I tend to lean towards the latter. I think it was defense pass interference, even though I did see there was some contact there to begin with. But, I mean, why the fuck did we create this rule of defensive pass interference
exactly.
if they're not even going to review it out?
Exactly. I mean, and you know what? What the fuck is this? Is this Friday Night Lights? Is this that fucking guy, the second string running back who couldn't find his helmet? Hey, let me borrow your helmet real quick. Beast Mode, what the fuck are you doing if that's true? And you know what? The only people that are saying that is offensive pass interference is you dumb fucking fake-ass Niner fans. That's who else. Surprise, surprise, Marcus. Only these dumb fucking fake-ass fans are saying, oh, well, he ran into it, offensive pass interference. Just shut the fuck up. You guys got lucky. Wow, for once, you guys actually did stop the guy at 1 yard line, huh? This ain't Julio Jones, so I gotta give that defense some credit. They could have lost that game, but they stopped him literally at the 1 yard line. I'm not gonna say that ball crossed the plane because it didn't. I'm a realistic person. The Niners won that game based off of that play, but they got fucking lucky. Those pieces of shit. I fucking hate you fans that don't know what you're talking about. But as far as this game goes, I think I'll take the Seahawks, Marcus. What do you think?
I think I'm leaning towards the Seahawks, too, and Niner fans don't want to hear that because I don't think they want to get a third matchup with the Seahawks. But honestly, down at the station, some people are saying, oh, I don't want to see Russell Wilson for a third team. But guys like Greg Pop, I think if the 49ers and Seahawks play for a third time, that the 49ers are just going to blow them out because they were the better team in the first half until Russell Wilson really did lead that comeback. But, I mean, I don't know how you really say that. Like, oh, they're the much better team. Russell Wilson was still in this game, and it's not like the Seahawks had like a bunch of turnovers. There were zero turnovers in this game, and he came down to the last fucking play. So, yeah, it was a good game back and forth. I mean, the Seahawks and the 49ers have had two of the best games all season long. So, yeah, I'm definitely leaning with the Seahawks here. They are fair about 1.5 on the road taking on the Eagles. You want to talk about the Eagles pretty much fucking looking into the playoffs. The Cowboys royally fucked that one up. But the Philadelphia Eagles, they did what they were supposed to do. They ended the year on a 4-game winning streak. Now, they were all against the fucking NFC East fucking trash. But, hey, you got to win the games that are on your schedule. And that's exactly what they did to finish the season 9-7 to make the playoffs. And they'll be taking on the Seahawks in what is a rematch of Week 12. The Seahawks are a beat them once 17-9 in Philadelphia as well. They went on the road, beat the Eagles. Now, of course, that was a game where they ran for like 175 yards. Chris Carson and Rashad Penny really had his breakout game. But obviously, both those guys are out. And we've been talking about the Eagles' rush defense and how good they are. They've had a couple games where they've let up a big totals. But we saw Ezekiel Elliott had a big game the first time, then slowed down the second time. So this Seattle Seahawks rush offense is going to be kind of contained a little bit, I think. Now, Marshawn Lynch going to get some carries. I believe he only got around 10 carries last week.
He had a
minimum impact, got it to touchdown. Obviously, would have had a second touchdown, but he did get stopped short on 1-4-1. But honestly, I think Marshawn, I think, like I said last week, he creates that presence in the backfield. I mean, the rushing numbers between him and Carson being swapped out weren't too different, but the passing plays actually improved yards per game because, like I said, linebackers got to step up in the box. Safety's got to step up in the box when they see Marshawn Lynch back there. So I think Marshawn still could have an impact in this game. And the man actually only needs 63 rushing yards to become the 7th player ever with 1,000 rushing yards in the playoffs. So the man does have some incentive to play for. Now, they might slow down that running game, like I said, but the Seahawks have been winning all season long on Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is having another MVP-type season. The man ended with 31 touchdowns and 5 interceptions. Now, he's playing on MVP level, but his team ain't. The team is like all-time lows in pretty much stats throughout the whole entire Russell Wilson era. They have like 20 turnovers. That's the most in the Russell Wilson era. Their defense is allowing, what, like 25 points a game? That's the most in the era. I mean, obviously, he's not playing with the Legion of Boom anymore. Jadeveon Clowney's the best player on that defense alongside Bobby Wagner. I don't want to forget him. Got to give him some shout-out. But we all know Clowney has been dealing with injuries all season long. He's got a core injury that he actually might need surgery for after the season. So the man is just saving up and playing through it. But I think we're going to get an injury versus injury matchup because Lane Johnson, one of the best tackles in football, has been hurt. He's been back and forth with the Eagles last week. I mean, shit, the Eagles have had a bunch of guys hurt the whole entire season. But if Lane Johnson's questionable, him going against Jadeveon Clowney, I think Carson Wentz is going to have some trouble. And, I mean, I think people forget this is Carson Wentz's playoff debut. I mean, the Eagles, yeah, they won the Super Bowl. Carson Wentz wasn't healthy. Nick Foles was the fucking quarterback. And Carson Wentz, I mean, we got into this conversation last week. I compared him with Derek Carr when he had a first breakout year. Everybody thought he was an MVP conversation, got injured, came back, not really doing as hot. But people were saying he doesn't have weapons. Yeah, same thing as DC. So I think it's in the same similar fashion. And, yeah, it's tough to pick the Eagles right now. Like I said, Carson Wentz making his playoff debut. In his career, he's actually 8-12 versus teams that have made the playoffs. So he doesn't have a winning record against playoff teams. And he's 0-3 in his last three games against the Seahawks. I mean, fuck, Zach Ertz is beat up. He didn't even play the final week of the season. Miles Sanders is dealing with an ankle injury. I mean, who knows who's playing wide receivers? Alshon Jeffrey's going to be healthy. DeSean Jackson's still out. I mean, he doesn't have anybody he can throw the fucking ball to. So, yeah. The Philadelphia Eagles, they scored a season-low 9 points in Week 12 when they played the Seahawks. They might even score lower than that. I mean, I just don't see this offense putting up points. Now, you know, it's a whole different story in Philadelphia, playing at home. Playoffs are a whole nother ball game. But I just can't pick Carson Wentz beating Russell Wilson when these two have been carrying their team all season long. I think Russell Wilson's going to step up in a big moment, and he's going to end up winning this game on the road, Al.
Well, we also need to see it this way. I mean, like you just said, the Seahawks have been dealing with injuries, right? Mm-hmm. They beat the Niners at home. Mm-hmm. Now, of course, Niners could have won that game, but McLaughlin fucking choked that.
Yeah.
But the fact that the Seahawks still kept it close with those injuries and against the Niners, who defense was pretty fucking hot at that time, I think that their defense started slowing down actually after that game.
Yeah.
So before that game started, Niners were a hot-ass defense. Now this week against the Eagles, I think that they can pull this off with the Eagles, because if they did it with against the Niners and they almost even beat the Niners with no running backs, I think that they could absolutely do it against the Eagles. Now as far as these injuries go, when you talk about Clowney in his core, he was actually a non-participant in practice, so most likely, he's probably not going to play. And then for Ertz, he's not even clear for contact. Aguilar, I don't even think it matters if he plays or not. The guy can't catch a fucking ball to save his life, so he has a knee injury that's not really looking too good. I don't think he's going to play. And Miles Sanders, he is projected to practice today. That's what I last saw in the update. So the Eagles have a better advantage as far as injuries go, because they do have some guys that are coming in, but you know, you said it already. Russell Wilson's been doing it pretty much almost by himself.
Yeah.
You know, if he's not scrambling, he's throwing it deep to DK, who's been an inconsistent receiver, to be honest. One week, he's not doing shit. The next week, he's blowing the fuck up. So, DK Metcalf, you're doing pretty decent this season. Mm-hmm. And let's see what he can do as a rookie in the playoffs. Marshawn Lynch, he's been in the playoffs before.
Oh, yeah.
He knows what the fuck to do. So, I think that the Seahawks are going to have a good fucking game against this Eagles game. I think it might be a defensive game, to be honest. I think it could be a low-scoring game like it was. I could see it being 10-17 Seahawks, you know, at the most. I don't think this is going to be a shootout at all. I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. But honestly, I think the Seahawks are going to win this one easily.
Yeah, the over-under is set at 46. I like the Seahawks minus 1.5 here. I thought they would be at least favored by a field goal in this matchup. Like I said, they already won on the road 17-9. Russell Wilson is 4-0 against Philadelphia in his career. And the Seahawks have won 5 straight against Philadelphia. And they've actually won 5 straight on the road in Philadelphia as well. So, I mean, Russell Wilson has played here before. I think he gets the job done. Now, the wide receivers are going to be a little bit of a question. Like you said, DK Metcalf has been up and down. Tyler Lockett hasn't been the same since he hurt his leg in that 49ers game a couple weeks ago. I mean, the guy just hasn't bounced back, so we'll see if he can get back on track this weekend. But yeah, I think regardless, like we said, Russell Wilson, if it wasn't for Lamar Jackson, he would probably be the MVP this
year.
The guy's been playing phenomenal. He's willing his team to win. Got fucking one inch away from being in the Niners and getting into that number two seed. But hey, he has to play this weekend, has to play on the road. A lot of people are calling for upset picks, or at least around the KNBR stations, but I don't know if that's just because they don't want to play the Seahawks again and they're just rooting for the Eagles. But yeah, I think the Seahawks ended up winning this game, setting up the 3 getting that back-to-back rematch and taking on the 49ers once again. But Al, what a matchup that would be. Those games would be great, but I think that's pretty much it. That's everybody.
That's
all playoff matchups, 4 fucking games, quick podcast. I mean, shit, wasn't that quick. We still did 45 minutes on this bitch. Gave you a Raider recap, gave you a Niner recap. I think we all agreed on these same picks, too. I think we both like the Buffalo Bills +3. We like the Titans +5, but we're taking the Patriots on the money line. We like the Saints to win big -8, and we like the Seahawks -1.5. It's that damn simple. 4 games this weekend. Gave you a couple upsets, mostly going chalk. I mean, shit, wild card weekend. We all know what to expect. Really, we're just waiting for the conference championships and the divisional rounds coming up next.
Absolutely. These are just, you know, the typical beginning of the playoff games, you know. These, of course, playoffs is playoffs. We're going to love watching these motherfucking playoff games, but the Next week is when it all comes down to it, okay? That is when it all fucking seeps in. We got the Ravens, Chiefs, Niners, and Packers that are going to be playing next week. Who knows who they're going to be playing? I'm hoping the Niners play the Seahawks because I would love to see that three-peat. I would love to see the Ravens-Patriots game again. Last time we saw them play, the Ravens did a fucking number on them, and I hope they do that shit again because I think we could all agree, even you fucking fake-ass Niner fans, I think we could all agree that we could all say, fuck the Patriots.
Hey, fuck the Patriots. Fuck Tom Brady and that cheating motherfucker that ain't never won a Super Bowl without a first-round bye. We all know what happened last time he played in a wild card weekend. He lost, got knocked out. Hell, he could have a losing record when he doesn't get a bye in the playoffs. Not my GOAT. I'll hit that hashtag. Yuch. Fucking Tom Brady. Fuck the Patriots. But they'll probably win this weekend. But yeah, I would love to see the Patriots take on either the Ravens or the Chiefs in the next round or so. I mean, shit, we got great football coming up. Ravens, Chiefs, Niners, Packers, all on byes, all getting healthy. I mean, shit. Should we give them our Super Bowl projections now, or should we wait till next week, Al?
Let's wait till next week, because I said Ravens-Niners, and I don't know if that's going to happen, so I just want to wait until next week.
Hey, we'll wait till next week. Well, good news for you. Neither of those teams can lose this weekend,
exactly.
So you'll still be in the conversation now. I will put out my preseason pick with Saints against the Patriots. Last year, I picked Saints against the Chiefs. We all know what happened in those fucking conference finals. It should have been the playoffs. I'm kind of leaning that way towards it again, but honestly, I think the favorite right now has to be Ravens-Niners. We'll get into all of our Super Bowl selections, our conference champion selections, our divisional round selections, as we have 3-4 more weeks of fucking playoff football left before we hit the Super Bowl, and then we'll be back with a full Super Bowl betting show with prop bets and everything need to win some money. I mean, shit, it's the Bay's Golden Days. We'll give you nothing but winners, playoff, regular season, Super Bowl. It don't matter. All season long, nothing but winners right here on the Straight Cash Podcast, baby.
Bay's golden fucking days. And you know what? It is the end of the season, Marcus. And I think I should end it off being the big shit talker that I am. That's right, folks. Go fuck yourselves, you fucking fake-ass Niner fans. You know I'm coming in on you motherfuckers this fucking playoffs. You guys ain't shit. You guys are just some fucking low-level pieces of shit. Y'all weren't even around for the last 6 years. Been stuck in them motherfucking bushes like Homer Simpson. You motherfuckers are just peasants. Y'all don't know what the fuck y'all talking about. Jimmy ain't elite. Y'all know I was coming in here to talk my shit, and I'm still gonna be talking my shit. All you pieces of shit that say, oh, you won't say nothing to Niner fans' faces. Oh, I've done it before, Marcus, and I'll fucking do it again. And I'm gonna end this fucking podcast off with a fuck you.
Hey, the notorious Ooh. Bay Area hater himself. Niner fans thought they were safe this podcast because they were on a bye this week. But no, Alan bringing the heat as always and giving you a little taste of what you can expect these next couple weeks on the podcast as the 49ers will be looking to control the road to the Super Bowl, going through Santa Clara to get down to Miami. But like I said, we got wild card games, we got division games, we got conference games, all before we get to the Super Bowl. And we'll see if the San Francisco 49ers can make it all the way down that path. And to find out, you got to tune into the Bay's Golden Day Straight Cash Podcast and listen for yourself. So once again, thank you for listening, downloading, subscribing, Apple, iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast from. Thank you for downloading, subscribing, reviewing, everything you do. You've been rocking with us all season long, so thank you. And we rewarded you. We gave you picks.
We
gave you winners. We gave you the money line picks. Over 170 winners on the money line. Over 145 winners against the spread. Nothing but winners all season long. And hey, the regular season don't mean it's over. It's playoff time. We're in the hunt, not for the championship trophy, but for that money, baby. Because you know what it is. Straight cash, homie.
Sold it. Sold it. Sold it. Sold it.
Stay gold, pony boy.